Wednesday, November 16th, having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, I want to continue with our post-election analysis. Hard to believe that as we record this, we're a week into election vote counting, and we still don't know the outcome of some of these races. Harry, interestingly, as we look back on the election, let me quote from an article written by Guy Benson. He says, "If you had told me only that the National House popular vote would land around Republican plus four prior to the election, I would have all but guaranteed a red wave."
But that's not what happened. In the aggregate total of the votes, Republican candidates altogether got 4% more. That didn't translate into any kind of a red wave that you would have anticipated. Tom, let me do a little bit of a national profile that I don't really believe is controversial. Number one, the statistics bear out. We have inflation. It has now risen beyond anything we've known for over 40 years. We have porous borders. As a result, we have a lethal drug pandemic. We have foreign policy that seems to be in disarray. We have an unprecedented violent crime movement, particularly in the major cities. And we have a fuel crisis that people are even concerned about heating oil, much less transportation, that has been inflicted by policy over the last couple of years. But yet, as the electorate went to the polls, they basically did not eject the party whose policies have laid the groundwork that either instigated or allowed or did not address these issues that I've just outlined. Now, why did that happen? Why is it you have the pinch of all of those issues and 75% of Americans say we're on the wrong path, that something needs to change, yet in an election to send a message for change, they've basically maintained in office those who said we're going to stay the course on the policies that have brought us to this point? Tom, one of the things is leadership. It's not enough simply to say, Democratic policy has not been good. I'm not a Democrat. Vote for me. You've got to be able to say what it is you're going to do about this. Because there was an absence of a positive presentation for those who were running to unseat the present party that is in control, I'm not a Democrat, so vote for me. That may move your base, but it doesn't move other people that you need to get elected. You've got to give people a reason to vote for you. The reality check is the situation begged for a significant movement, which I think fed the predictions of a red wave.
Harry, let me ask you to jump in a little deeper on leadership and the abortion issue. And the big question is, many people are asking right now, Harry, was the Dobbs decision, which overturned Roe v. Wade, was it worth it?
That is a great question. Let me just say, again, the Republican Party, who had the Dobbs decision hung on them and the declaration that they were against women's health care and the declaration that they were for outlawing abortions, number one, did not go to the podium to talk about what is elective abortions. Number two, they did not make clear the Dobbs case did not outlaw abortion. What it did is it said there is no basis in the Constitution for the federal allowance of abortion and mandating and support of abortion, and they sent it back to the states. So the battle is at the state level. In other words, they needed to eviscerate the false presentation of the Dobbs case as outlawing abortion and make clear the Dobbs case overturned Roe v. Wade because it's unconstitutional and sent everything just like it was in 1972 back to the states where we are to battle this issue out. There is no doubt that this was highly motivating, particularly upon younger voters, this Dobbs decision and the way it was being presented in the campaign. And did that turn some seats? I think probably so. Was the Dobbs decision worth it? Absolutely. Let me put it this way. If you came to me and said, Harry, For 50 years, we have fought Roe v. Wade to overturn it. We can now overturn it, but if we do, it's going to cost about 15 seats in the House of Representatives and maybe one seat in the Senate. Do you still want to overturn Roe v. Wade? I wouldn't hesitate a moment. I'll gladly trade a dozen congressional seats and one Senate seat to remove the insanity and the lethality of Roe v. Wade. I'll give up 50 years of this genocidal assault upon the preborn at the federal level with a fabricated Supreme Court decision of Roe v. Wade and at least get it returned back to the states. I would gladly have traded that.
Harry, when we started out this program, I mentioned the fact that here we are a week later and we still don't know all the election results. You have states like Texas and Florida, the second and third largest populated states. They knew their results within 24 hours. Arizona, the 14th most popular state, they're still counting the votes. Election integrity, talk about it.
Yeah, let's just finish up with that. We ought to do elections in such a way that there is no doubt they are trustworthy. They need to be transparent. They need to be efficient. They need to be accurate. And you've got 2 years to prepare every single time. And you've got technology in your hands. Within 48 hours, what was arguably the most contested presidential election was declared and decided in the day where you got pencils and ballots, and that was the election of Abraham Lincoln. Tom, state legislatures need to be held accountable for the election process. I do believe there's one thing the federal government can do in terms of elections, and that's this. Declare Election Day a holiday. Make it a big deal. We are doing something that people have died so that we could have the freedom to do this. It ought to be a significant day. Make it a holiday. Secondly, do away with advance balloting. We want an election day, not an election month. You don't need advance voting. Thirdly, maintain absentee voting, but you've got to qualify for an absentee vote. Fourthly, set the time that the tabulations need to be done and do everything you can to make sure you've got the personnel and the technology to get that tabulation done and announced. Done and announced formally within 24 hours. I think that's absolutely crucial to at least begin electoral integrity and trustworthiness so we can do away with all of these moments. My goodness, the other night there's one election race. They were looking to call the senator and we went to bed and the next morning I got up and they said they have just brought in some more votes and by the way, it's flipped. I'm not saying that there was anything false. I'm just saying we ought to have a process that those kinds of things don't have to be dissected and digested. Vote comes in, you register it, and you count it. We've got to do away with advance voting and the practice of harvesting votes by sending out multiple ballots. And if you can't be there to vote on that day, then you're responsible to fill out the papers in order to do an absentee ballot. I thank the Lord to live in a constitutional republic in which leaders are selected and accountable to the electorate through a democratic process of voting. Having said that, I am more than happy to know that I belong to Jesus Christ and He is my King, and I didn't elect Him, He elected me and chose to save me by His grace so that I could choose to honor Him as King. But He's King not by my vote, but I'm His because of His vote. He went to the cross to save me from my sins. Grateful I could end this program and invite you to this Christ who voted to save sinners at the cross and loses not one of His people, and He rules and reigns forever. He doesn't need our vote, but I gladly, publicly declare He is Lord, Savior, and King, and invite others to come into His kingdom.
There have been periods of time in world history and in our nation's history where God brought great revival, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which led to widespread positive response to the good news of Jesus Christ. Harry examines biblical revival as seen in both the Old and New Testament in his 20-part series, Revive Us Again, Revival in Biblical Perspective. To order this series, go to briarwood.org/revival. We'll stop by again tomorrow, Thursday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.